be back with you. I enjoyed that reading. Two things struck me as you read that portion of Scripture. The one thing that stood out to me, again, is the realness of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of Him, and rightly so, as the God-man, and He is. But He is every bit a man in trouble. That's why it's written in the Scriptures that we have a high priest. I may have to go to this part of Scripture for each. That we have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We just read what He went through. And then it struck me how few words need to be said when God's in it. Just reading that and the few comments you made, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home. I can go home. I wanted to say, just keep going. Don't stop. Just keep going. Sometimes I think we need to recognize when God's in something. Well, we ought to recognize it all the time and go with it. But since I'm here now, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. I want to give to you tonight something that I want. I desire to have this and to have this now. I think of that commercial. People hanging out the window saying, I want my money and I want it now. This has nothing to do with money. But it has to do with finding real, genuine contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want that. I want to have that. Paul says in chapter 4, I'm not going to read this chapter, but he says in verse 10, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. That's not what I'm saying. Not what I'm writing to you about. For I have learned. I've learned this. In whatsoever state I am. What state was Paul in when he wrote this epistle? He was in prison. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it by when you read the book of Ephesians. When you read this epistle here, Philippians, would you know that Paul's in jail, in prison? Do you hear any complaining and whining going on? Do you hear a man say, I've lost everything? And it's just, in fact, in chapter 3, he glories in the fact that he lost everything for Christ's sake. He said, for whom I've suffered the loss because of my connection to Christ, my union to Christ, I've lost everything. And I'm content with that. I'm happy with that. Christ was everything to him. He says over in the first chapter, look over here, in the first chapter, I started to bring three messages from this epistle. I started to bring it from verse 21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I thought, oh, there's a message. There's a message. What is it for me to live? What is it for me to get up in the morning? What is it for me to go through the day? What is it? Is it Christ? Or making money, or whatever it is. I started bringing a message there. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. He's my life. And to die is nothing but gain. It's all gain. And then I had a message out, reading, studying it. And as, over in chapter 2, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The title of that message was, let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ in you. And then I got settled in on this one, finding real contentment in Christ. But now you would not know Paul was in prison from this reading this epistle. Well, you'd think he's sitting in a comfortable house and... He's in prison. He's in prison. I have learned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, to be at peace. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Do I know how to be abased? Do I know how to handle that graciously? In a way that honors the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I know how to abound? Do I know how to handle prosperity in a way that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ? Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things. This is learned. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do nothing without Christ. Did he not say that? Did he not say, without me, you can do nothing? But with Christ, I can do all things. Nothing is impossible. When you look at who created us, who made us, nothing should be impossible. Nothing. My soul, God created us. God created us. I don't want this message to be just about finding contentment. People can be content on their way to hell. I don't want that. But I want it to be finding in Christ all that I need. All that I really need. Be brought to the place where I realize, I recognize that everything that I need is really found in Jesus Christ. And everything else really doesn't matter. Because God said He would add it to us on our way home. He'll just add it to us on our way home. It's finding in Christ all that I need. It is trusting the Lord's wisdom. I need His wisdom to guide me. Direct me. I don't know which way to go. Do you know what's going to happen the next minute? He does. He knows what's going to happen next year if it comes. He already knows. He knows it because He purposed it. So I trust Him. I trust His wisdom to guide me along that path that I know not. I haven't seen it yet, but He knows it. I want to trust His leadership. I want to trust His providential dealings with me. Whether He gives me something or whether He takes it away. To trust Him. I desire to have this contentment, this peace. Paul speaks over here in verse 7 of chapter 4. And the peace of God. Peace with God and peace of God in the heart. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want that. I want that. I desire that. I hunger for that. I desire to have this contentment that comes through knowing and being joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that a real lasting contentment can come is through our relationship with Him. That's the only way it can be, is with Him. I want to live. I want you to get this. I want to live in constant awareness of His presence and care of me. I want to live in constant awareness of it. Constant. Now, what is contentment? Well, the dictionary calls it this. It calls it tranquil happiness. It means to be satisfied. I thought that's a good word. Satisfied. Satisfied with His righteousness. I need no other. Satisfied with His blood. Satisfied with His person. Son of God. It means to be adequately happy, willing to live in a satisfied state. Peace. Peace. Now, this is not something we're born with naturally, and we're not born with it even spiritually. Paul said, I've learned this. Through trials, through losses. You go over there to chapter 3, Paul talks about all of it. He lost everything. He counted it as loss. Through trials, losses, and crosses, we learn the real value of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we learn. We learn what's really, really valuable. Paul had to lose everything to learn this. It's not an easy lesson. He had suffered the loss of all things, he said, for Christ's sake. He learned that what he had lost was not that valuable in comparison to his union, to his connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. What I have lost, he says, can't even be compared to what I have gained. Can't even be compared to it. Now this starts with a new birth. A heart that can be content with Christ. A heart that can be content with His righteousness. A heart that can be content with His blood. A heart that can be content with His person. That old heart's never content. Oh, it's restless. Restless. There's no way that old heart can be content. More, more, more. It's like the leech. Give, give, give. That's what it's like. Now, Paul said, I have learned. What did he learn? And who were his teachers? What did Paul learn? And who were his teachers? First of all, Paul learned how to let things go. Forgetting, that's hard for us to do, isn't it? Forgetting those things which are behind. Paul learned how to just let it go. Job said, when God took everything he had, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now let it go. That's not easy. I'm telling you, it's not easy. That's learned. We have to learn as we grow up in Christ that when God gives us things to rejoice, and when He takes them, rejoice. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. And we learn how to let it go when He takes it. And then Paul learned how not to complain when the comforts of life were taken away. When you read this epistle, when you go home, when you get time, read it. Do you hear any hint of Paul complaining in prison of all the losses he's endured? Incurred? No. Not at all. The Scripture says that God makes rich And God makes poor. God makes rich. He lifts up one and He brings down another. He may do that to a nation. He may do that to a man. But God does it. I make poor. I make rich. I do this. God does this. And then Paul learned how to be poor and not be ashamed. When our Lord came into this world, when He took upon Him flesh, who did He identify with first? The poor. Born in a stable. Born to poor parents. He was a carpenter. He didn't grow up in a palace. He grew up in a poor home. To be able to identify with the poor brethren is to be able to identify with Christ. And Paul learned how to be poor and not be ashamed of his poor brethren. How not to be ashamed of his Gentile brother. How to accept men of different races and hug them up as brothers and sisters in Christ. He learned this. And then he learned how not to be jealous. David said, I was envious at the wicked. Have you ever been there? You ever been envious of somebody? You ever been envious of unbelievers for the prosperity? They seem to be getting along so well and you're not. They get promoted, you don't. These are the things we go through in learning this. God puts us through it. And he learned how not to be jealous. To rejoice. To rejoice when God blessed a church or a brother. To rejoice in that. Oh, it's amazing how much flesh still in us. There's as much sin in me now as ever. There's as much sin in me now as the day I was born. And I thank God Christ put it away. And I thank God that it doesn't rule in us anymore. Sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, you're under grace. And then Paul learned that all things are God. And that was enough for him. I'm not saying to you, do I? Because these are things I ask myself in my study. I said, John, do you believe? Do you believe that all things are of God? Do you really? Then why are you upset? Why you get upset? Why does it bother you so much? If all things are of God, whether I'm healthy or sick, whether I'm wealthy or poor, all things are of God. And when we learn this, we can find some real contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can find some real contentment. And then Paul learned. He said, I've learned. He learned that all he really needed, God provided for him in Christ. In him. And this ought to just bless us so much. In him, ye are complete. I lack nothing. I lack absolutely nothing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I lack nothing. What do I really need? What is my greatest need? Christ. That leper said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Blind Bartimaeus, Lord, give me my sight. My greatest need is Christ. That's not just a religious statement. That's real. That's real. When Jesus Christ's righteousness is enough, when His blood is enough, when His care of me is enough, then I'll begin to find real contentment, real rest. When I can truly say, now listen, when I can truly say, I have enough, even when I don't have much, I have enough. Paul also learned how to abound. This is probably the more difficult one. He learned how to be full and not crave more. You know, the Scripture says the rich man's riches won't let him sleep. Why, you'd think if you had a big bank account, you'd sleep like a baby, wouldn't you? But Solomon said the rich man's riches, and he ought to know he was a rich man. He said they won't let him sleep. Won't let him sleep. He learned how to be full, not crave more, and how to be thankful when he had plenty, and how to be thankful when he had nothing. Oh, to be that, to be thankful. To have such a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. To be thankful whether I'm up or down, whether I have plenty or nothing. But to truly be thankful that I have Him. That I have Him. Paul learned that the Lord will provide. He learned that the Lord will provide. And he learned how to use and not be used of things. He learned how to take the things that God gave him and use them and not let them get a hold of him and use him. I had a business for about 21 years. And I started out in business. I was going to own my own business. And after a few years, my own business owned me. That's what happens. You think you own it, and then all of a sudden, one day you turn around, and it's got you. It's got you. You think, how'd that happen? Paul learned how not to let it get a hold of him. How to use those things that God gave, and how to let them go when it's time to let them go. And he learned that life is more than what he owned. Listen to this scripture in Luke 12:15. And he said unto them, the Lord said unto them, take heed now, take heed, because this will get a hold of you. It'll happen to you and you won't even know it. Take heed and beware of covetousness. I'd say everybody, all of us in here say, well, I'm not covetous. You would be shocked. You would be shocked. We would be shocked. I'd be shocked. What's still there? Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. If it did, the rich man would not have went to hell. He was trying to figure out how to build a bigger barn to put all that stuff in. And then did he die? And it was over with. And all those riches went to somebody else. And now there he is. Forever and ever and ever. Our Lord said in Matthew, I believe it was chapter 5, there in the Sermon on the Mount, He's talking about, He said, don't seek after these things. It's what the Gentiles seek after. What we're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. And this statement He made just rings with me all the time. It rings in my ears. Is not life more than this? Young people, listen. Is not life more than what you can get, how much you can make, what you're going to be? Get an education. Get an education. Wisdom, Solomon says, better than folly. But life, it's more than paying bills. It's more. It's more than making money and laying up a few dollars. It's more than buying, going to the grocery store. Life is knowing God. This is life eternal, that they may know the Lord Jesus Christ and God whom He sent. There in John 17. That's life. Life is to know life. And Christ is life. That's life. Outside of that, you're not any better off than an animal. Outside of that. Outside of not knowing God. Can you imagine to go through your whole life and never know God? To never worship God, the one who gives you the lungs to breathe, the air to breathe, the one who enables you to do what you do, the one who enables you to think, the one who gives you the intelligence you have, and to go through life and never acknowledge Him, you ought to go to hell. And I ought to too, if I do that. If I'm left alone to do that. To take one so great as Almighty God, and never acknowledge Him for who He is. We ought to go to hell. Is not life... Think about this. Selah. Let me put that mean pause and think about it. When you go home, think about this. Is not life more than this? Is it? It's to know God. It's to know. I know this. I'm convinced that I could know God a whole lot more than I do now. He that seeks me with all his heart shall find me. What did he learn? And I gave it to you. Who were his teachers? First of all, the Holy Spirit. All thy children shall be taught of God. God, the Holy Spirit, everyone in here, everyone in this room that's born of God, the Holy Spirit of God, God, dwells in you. Don't think about God as way off out there somewhere. Wherever paradise is, He literally, really is in you. And He's your teacher. Christ said He'll teach you all things. Telling His disciples and us. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. He'll teach you. And He teaches, first of all, by God's Word. You're not going to learn anything apart from God's Word. You're not going to learn anything of God, Christ, the Gospel, truth, apart from the Word of God. Now, you're not going to just go out in the woods and have an epiphany or whatever it is. You're not going to do it. You're going to learn what the Holy Spirit teaches you out of God's Word. And then you're going to learn from His promises. He's going to bring you into certain situations where that promise is going to fit you. Someone said you can only claim a promise if you fit the person or the character described in the promise. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's a promise to all those who are laboring and heavy laden. The rest of you, it's not to you. You don't fit it. So his teachers is the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, God's promises, grace in the heart, Believe me, it takes grace to, it takes the grace of God to bring us to the point that we can learn something. And trials and disappointments, I do think they are our greatest teachers in the hand of God. Because when Paul said these, and I've learned this, but in chapter 3 he says, I've lost everything. I count it as a loss. I'm glad to just toss it aside, but I've lost it. I've lost it. And then here's the lesson, and I'll close. Here's the lesson of what Paul learned. The real value of things compared to having Christ. You start out young in Christ. You start out as babes in Christ. What do babes know? You've got to teach them their name. They don't know anything. And they grow. And they learn. They are instructed. And then you learn through time and trials and losses that the only thing that's really, really, really valuable is Christ. Having Him. Having Him. I'll give you two examples and I close. You remember Abraham and Lot? Their herdsmen were feuding with each other. And Abraham being Abraham, a man of God, he said, Lot, we're not going to have this. We're not going to have this feuding. We're not going to have fighting in the family. We've grown big here. We've prospered. The Lord blessed. He said, I tell you what you do. You pick, you choose wherever you want to go, and I'll take what's left. I'll go the opposite. I'll go the opposite direction. Abraham, the elder, could have said, Lot, enough's enough. Get on the side of that rocky hill. You guys deserve that. But he didn't. He said to Lot, Lot, whatever you want to take, whatever, take it all. Take it. Abraham had Christ. Abraham had a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed God. Of course, you know what happened, don't you? Lot, of course, looked at the well water plains of Jordan. He went down there to Sodom and Gomorrah. But after Lot left, you know what God did? God said, He said, Abraham, lift up your eyes. All of it's yours. Does He not say all things are yours in Christ? Are not all things? Really? It depends on how real Christ is to you, how real that is. And then we have another example. You know the story of Mephibosheth and Ziba? Remember what Ziba did? He tricked and made David think that Mephibosheth stayed back. And anyway, when David came back, Mephibosheth hadn't even taken a bath or trimmed his beard or anything until the king came back. And he was saying something to the king, and the king said, Why didn't you come with me, Ziba? And he told him that Ziba, or Mephibosheth told him Ziba had tricked him. And David said, well, why speakest thou of this matter anymore? Listen. He said, you and Ziba divide the land. You divide it up. Now here's what real contentment is in Christ. And Mephibosheth said, after David said, you and Ziba, I don't want to hear no more of this matter. You and Ziba, just divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take it all. Let him take it all. Let him have all the inheritance. For as much as my Lord the King has come again in peace unto his own house, I got what I want. I got the one I want. Ziba, you can have all that. You can have all the land. I don't need that. I don't want it. Don't need it. I've got what I want. Christ. Brother and sister, you take all the inheritance. I've got what I want. I've got an inheritance that fades not away. And it's reserved. And it's kept in heaven for me. And I'm going to squabble and fight over a piece of land that I'd have to mow if I got it. And pay taxes on. Who's the real idiot? Ziba. Ziba. When Jesus Christ is enough, then what you have and where you are will be enough. It'll be enough. And you'll have peace. When Jesus Christ is when He's real to you, and He's enough, His blood, His righteousness, His person, His work, He's enough. That's when you'll have peace. That's when you'll experience the peace of God which passes all understanding. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When everything else is falling apart, you'll have peace and rest. But you won't have it till you have Him, who is peace.